worship you, speak your word to us. May none of us live the same. We pray that you would enlarge our coast and be with us as we hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We may take our seats. Hallelujah. So God is speaking to us, and we're going to continue with our message. I believe we were blessed last week. Hallelujah. He that hath. Yes. Hallelujah. What a word. Amen. Amen. What a word. When I say what a word, say what a preacher. Talking about Bishop Dag. What a word. What a preacher. Hallelujah. It's nice when we get the opportunity to listen to those words of wisdom. Amen. We're going to continue with name it, claim it, and take it. Name it. Claim it. And take it. Hallelujah. Amen. Some people use this name it, claim it, take it for so many things. Some use it to get a beloved. I name XYZ triple X. I claim triple X and I take triple X. Or Slippery Susan. Hey, I name Slippery Susan. I claim her. You see, you name what you want. I name... Okay. We're working on the sound. I name Slippery Susan. I want Slippery Susan. I claim her. She's mine. I've named what I'm looking for. Am I saying something to somebody? I've named what I'm looking for. I claim it that this is mine, and I take it. But you can do it. You can use this name it, claim it, take it for victory, to walk in victory, to live a life of faith, to walk in total great blessings. How many are getting what I'm saying? Because you can name what you are looking for. What are some of the things you can name? I can name divine health. Claim divine health and take it as mine because it is mine. It is my portion from the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I can name financial prosperity. Financial prosperity is mine. I claim it and I take it. I can name a promotion. I claim that promotion and I take it. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can use it for other, it's not just that. Hallelujah. I know what I'm talking about. There are a number of people who have named, claimed, taken. And they were not able to take, but they were able to name and claim. Beloved. Hallelujah. But you can name a job. Praise God. You can claim that job and take the job. Hallelujah. You can name a blessing. What are some of the blessings? Health, yes, which I mentioned. Children, you can say, God, I want a child. I was talking, someone recently was talking about twins, saying that I named twins, and I said, may that be your portion. Yeah, I named twins. Oh, glory to God. I claim twins, and twins are mine. I take it. I have twins and walk in it. It's that simple because we are people of faith. And the Bible says that we must be imitators of God. We must be people who speak things. Look at Mark 11:22-24. Now, in fact, let's start from verse 18 to get an understanding of why Jesus said what he said. When we are reading the Bible, it's important to read the context of it. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, the explanation for this in Matthew and Mark, when you combine the two, is that Jesus and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem. As they were going, Jesus was hungry and saw a fig tree and leaves on the fig tree. But usually, a fig tree that has leaves usually will have fruit. It's usually unrare to see a fig tree that has fruits that did not have, don't have leaves and have fruit. Hallelujah. Or that have leaves and does not have fruit. So Jesus saw the fig tree with leaves and was excited and was about to take a fruit. And when he went there, there was no fruit. So Jesus cursed the fig tree and said, no man eats fruit from thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard him. So Jesus made a statement. No one will eat fruit from you from then, from now on. And then they went. to Jerusalem. When they were returning, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So as soon as Jesus said it, the fig tree was dried up immediately. So the morning they saw it, and the apostles were surprised. Look at verse 21. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away, by the statement of Jesus. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. In the account of Matthew, Jesus said, look, have faith in God, that whatever, if you are able to say to the mountain, he pointed to a mountain, and tell the mountain to move to yonder place or to be cast into the sea, it will obey you. So now Jesus is saying, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Then verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Hallelujah. Amen. So you would see that when you name something, you are naming either a problem you want out, or you are naming something you want. So I name it, and then I claim it as mine because the Bible says it is mine. Glory to God. Healing is mine. The Bible says that Jesus was rich and became poor so that through his poverty we will be rich. So you claim something that God said is yours already. Don't people who have an inheritance, when they receive the, when they receive the will, don't they claim it?
Yes.
They claim it because it's for them. And we have a will already. Or Jesus has a will and he's given it to us already. The Bible says that the will of God is the word of God. The old will, and then it was, the old will was just a shadow of the true will. So God gave us the true will, which is the New Testament, the progressive or the will that he expected us to have. Or the original will was just a foreshadow of the true will. The Old Testament was just pointing to the true will. That's the New Testament. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that the New Testament is the will of God, the will and testament. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ had to die for the will to be in force. A will is not in force or is not established or is not in operation, or the dependents cannot receive the will unless there's a death.
That's right.
Of the testator. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ died to establish the will and make it clear for us, in force, given to us. Hallelujah. Now, those who have written a will know that you need two witnesses also. When you write the will, you need two witnesses. Glory to God. The witnesses were God the Father and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the signature was in the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we name it. We claim what is ours. It belongs to us. Healing belongs to us. Prosperity belongs to us. Favor belongs to us. Redemption belongs to us. Forgiveness of sins belongs to us. Overcoming sin belongs to us. All those things belong to us. And therefore we claim it and we take it as ours. It is mine. Hallelujah. That's the whole concept of name it, claim it, and take it. But it will be impossible without faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith, that's it. Noun faith, not tomorrow. Not in the sweet by and by. Not in the millennium. Now, noun faith is. Hope is later on. I hope that in the future, so those who are going to get married soon will say, I hope that on my wedding day, it will not rain. Yeah, there was a wedding I officiated in a beautiful place outside. If it had rained then, it would have been very unfortunate. It would have spoiled everything. So most likely before the wedding, the bride especially, and the groom, but especially the bride, because the wedding day is actually the bride's day. Grooms who fight over weddings are not mature. Hallelujah, it's the bride's day. Yeah, they are immature and inexperienced. How are you going to fight? Let the woman have what she wants. Just make sure that the budget is reasonable. That's the only thing you can bargain or work on. Hallelujah. And most likely, before the wedding, the bride and the groom hoped it would not rain. Because it's a future thing, so you can only hope for the future.
Yeah.
I hope that in the future things will be well with me. Hallelujah. Amen. But hope is something that we learn. Look at Romans 15:4. I'm just recapping some of what we've talked about. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 that for whatsoever things were written aforetime or in the past were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Look at it in NLT. So hope comes from the scriptures, from studying the scriptures. Hallelujah. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. They give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises. Proof that hope can never be known is that I hope for the resurrection. No matter what you and I do, no matter the prayers, if all the saints on earth pray, the resurrection will only come at a given time. I hope for Christ's return. No matter the prayers of the saints, it can never be faith. It's hope we need for Jesus to come, because God has his appointed time. No matter the prayers, it's going to be at that time in the future. I hope for my resurrected body that will not feel like doing wrong. The resurrected body cannot die. Cannot heavenly body. We wait. The Bible says that our spirits groan for the resurrected body, for our real bodies, because we live in the tent. Hallelujah. But we are looking for that house whose maker and builder is God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. So we hope for our total salvation. How many know that we are not all our components are saved? Our spirit is saved. The real David Saki is saved. The real Emmanuel is saved. The real person is saved. The cryptos man, the hidden man of the heart, the real man is saved and born again. It's a new creature in Christ. Yeah. Our bodies will never be saved. It will be put to the ground because it is dust and it will not be saved. That's why we will get a saved body, a resurrected body. Our souls are not yet saved. They are being saved. Yeah. Our souls are going to continue to be saved till Christ comes. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So hope is future. And you learn before you get hope. But without hope, faith is zero. Because Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So it means that hope, without hope, you can't get faith. Because the definition of faith, hope is in it. So without hope, so you need to first know that something exists to have faith in it. If there are cars that fly, I'm sure eventually, like Back to the Future, that movie, there are cars that fly. If there are cars that fly and you don't know it, someone in the village doesn't know it, they can't believe God or have faith for what they don't know. Someone in the village cannot, unless they get a vision, that one, then they've known it. If you don't know it, you can't say, God, give me the flying car. Those in the villages who have never seen cars, but only bicycles, maybe once a month, they can't have faith for a car because they don't know that there is a car. So you need faith for something at least you've hoped for. You have to first know of something to hope for it before you can have faith for it.
Amen.
That's why it's important that we know what the Bible says is ours so that we can have faith for it. If you and I don't know what is ours or what God has rightly given to us, how are we going to have faith for it?
Yes.
You see, and this thing, unfortunately, a lot of Christians are not looking for faith. They are just looking for what they can get right now. But God told Kenneth Hagin that many people are trying to let prayer do what only the word can do. Oh, that's like an uppercut to some folk. Many are trying to use prayer or get prayer to do what only the word can do. Prayer meeting, let's pray. Let's anoint oil. God, bless me now. But you and I, it's for the unbelievers. It's easier for the unbelievers to get their victory than Christians or new converts. Why? Because much is required of the Christian, because the Christian is supposed to walk in faith. Am I preaching to somebody? So it's only God's grace that gives many Christians favor. But many Christians don't know much about the word. Many Christians don't know what to hope for. Many Christians don't know that the things that are in the Bible are what you and I need to stand upon. What are you standing upon? When you and I are believing God for something, what scripture are we standing upon? Yes. Most likely, most Christians will say nothing in particular. And the results usually is nothing in particular. Yes. But when you have scripture and you are standing on the word, why do you believe you are healed? Because by his stripes I was healed. I'm standing on the word of God. Amen. And when you stand on the word of God can never sink. The word of God is the sure foundation. So if you and I stand on the word of God, we are standing on a sure foundation which cannot sink. So we are guaranteed answered prayer. That is the name it, claim it, and take it. What scripture are you standing upon? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So hope is, how many can see that hope doesn't have substance? From what I just said. Where is the substance? Okay, show me the substance in Jesus coming or our glorified bodies now. It's no matter what we do, we'll have to wait. But when you look at Hebrews 11:1, now faith is today. So faith brings hope to now. Faith converts hope, which is immaterial, and makes it material. Meaning that faith brings substance to hope. Am I preaching? So it means that you don't have faith for the future. It's like, oh God, I have faith that Jesus is coming now. No. I have hope. I have faith that Jesus is coming, but I have hope that one day he will come. But faith means today is mine. Today I am saved. I believe in Jesus now. I'm not now going to believe in him. I believe in him now. Faith is now. Faith is present. I don't have even $100 in my bank account. But now, I have faith that I have $10,000 in my bank account. Yeah. Now, faith is. So even before it comes in my hands, I have it now. Glory to God. Did you get that? So you have what you are looking for today. Even though it's not in your hands. Because when it's in your hands, you don't need faith. What's the point of faith? I mean, Jesus' name, I have faith. I have my phone. I don't need faith for my phone because it's in my hands. But you have faith for what you don't have yet. The evidence of things not seen. Look at Mark 11:24, what you just read. When we are in heaven, is there going to be faith? What's the point of faith in heaven? We are with him. We see him. We are with him. There's no need for faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Therefore, let's start from verse 22. And Jesus answered, saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, what does that mean, have faith in God? For verily I say unto you. So faith commands or speaks in faith. Faith speaks things into being. Faith commands. Faith declares. Amen. Then we'll read verse 24 just shortly. And then faith prays. Now, faith that speaks out into existence is for whosoever shall say, not pray, not a single word of prayer here, shall say unto this mountain, verse 23, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. He didn't say don't doubt in the mind. If the Bible could have said, and does not doubt, but specifically and shall not doubt in the heart. Can you have doubt in your mind and faith in your heart? You bet you can. Can't Satan put thoughts in your mind? Doubtful thoughts. The fact that he put doubtful thoughts in our minds doesn't mean that we doubted. No, it's the heart. Yeah. And shall not doubt in the heart, but shall believe that those things which he seeth shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he seeth. Now verse 24 is what we're looking for. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. When? In the future, in the point of prayer, as you and I are praying, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So faith is now, I believe, I receive, and I have it. Before I've received it, before I have it tangibly in my hands, I believe I've received. That is the point of people missing faith. Many Christians, including myself, I have to say it's hope. Many Christians are exercising hope, not faith. When you exercise faith, you are guaranteed answered prayer. Guaranteed. Jesus is truth. And it's very clear, crystal clear, that if you ask for something in faith, you get it. We read many scriptures, 1 John and other scriptures. So if we don't have it, then we are dealing with hope and not faith. Hope, by his stripes I was healed. When you first hear it and you quote it, it's hope you have. You don't have faith yet. By his stripes I was healed. It's in the mind. That's why I can quote it. But it's not in the heart yet. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Because for something to get into your heart, it takes a lot of repetition. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Then you'll be able to observe to do what the Bible says, and you would make your way prosperous and have good success. So most people hear the word. By his stripes I was healed. And then start exercising faith. But to convert hope to faith, you must ponder upon the word, read it, listen, hear it, read it, speak it out, listen, then it moves from the mind to the heart. Then faith comes. Dr. Cho had a cancer patient, we know the story, a woman who had throat cancer. Every service, weekday, Sunday, prayer meetings, the woman would come to his office. Pastor, pray for me. Throat cancer. You pray for her, she'll go back. Weeks, months, every time. Pastor, pray for me. The usual, he'll do his prayers. From time to time, he'll be provoked. In Jesus' name, came out. Still. Hey, when you see some pastors praying, it's like you know for you in your heart, you say, no, this prayer, dear, he advanced. But it's not by bad. It's just by God, just having faith. So one day, in frustration, as she came, Pastor, pray for me. She couldn't speak. Pastor, pray for me. He said, go to the prayer mountain. They have a prayer mountain. Go to the prayer mountain and take a book, notebook, and quote, say it yourself. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. By his stripes I was healed. Because it was hope. She knew the verse. She could quote it anytime and be in her sleep. By his stripes I was healed. Write it down. By his stripes I was healed. Write it down. Do it 1,000 times. Ooh, glory to God. After 1,000 times, she came. Pastor, I finished. Oh, your voice is clear now. When she went, completely healed. Of course. Because they had moved from hope to faith by the repetition. As you keep repeating something, you believe it more. As you keep hearing something, faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It didn't say faith comes by what you've heard once. Faith cometh by hearing, continuous hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. So developing real faith. Developing real faith. James chapter 2. Before James chapter... James chapter 2. Verse 13, verse 14 onwards, we're looking for. We will read it in NLT. And then I'll close with Romans 12:3. Dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? That kind of faith can't save anyone. We are talking about real faith versus make-believe faith. I'm preaching. Dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? And Jesus, seeing their faith as the man was being lowered, saith unto the man, thy sins are forgiven thee. seeing their faith. Oh, faith can be seen. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Someone who truly has faith in Christ, truly, would their actions and their life would show it. If Matilda sees a guy or a lady who says they have faith in Christ, what are some of the things that you can look at to say, no, this person really has faith? By their actions. If you have a faith in something, you do it. If you have faith, someone asked me a question which I believe is a very good question. How do I know that I have faith? Or I believe in Christ. How many have asked that question before? Yeah. Or not? Yeah. Just that person. Yeah. Oh, I want to know so that, because I'm trying to finish. If you, none of you, then I can move. Meaning that assurance of salvation. How do I really know that I really have faith in God, which can save me? I said, do you want to know or not? Now, let me ask a question to answer the question. Why do I go to work? Why do you go to work? It's because they've told us that we'll get a salary. When I work, I know that because I work, I've been promised a salary for the hours of work. And that so long as I do the duties, I would get my salary. Even when I have to be paid once a month. So what is the proof that I believe that when I work, I'll get the salary like I was told? Because believe me, it's not every place. In certain countries, Africa, some African countries, you can work and 3 months, you'll still be looking for your salary or your pension. Pension is a whole different story. Now, but in the Western world, I believe that when I go to work, even though sometimes you are tired, you feel sick, you don't feel like going, you and I will go because of the promise. So what motivates me or what proves that I have faith in what I was told by my actions of getting up to go to work?
Yeah.
Glory. Hallelujah. Therefore, what is the proof that you and I have faith in Christ by what we do because of our faith?
Amen.
Oh, yes. Amen. I thought you would put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. What is motivating you and I in this life? That determines what you have faith in.
Yes.
If I have faith in God and I'm not praying to concern me, God, I should be praying to you because I have faith in you and you've told me that it's important for the person who has faith in me to pray. So if truly I have faith in you, I'll be praying. The paralytic, he was praying to Jesus by coming to the house, breaking the roof to come down because he knew that when I speak to Jesus, I'll be healed. So Jesus saw that faith. Action. So what is the proof that I have faith? I'm doing what Jesus said I should do. I am living for Jesus. Jesus said we must get to know him. The Bible says that I am meek. Learn of me. So the proof that I believe in Jesus and I believe his word is I'm proving it by taking his Bible and reading it.
Hallelujah.
Maybe I might not read it every day. How many have skipped work? Maybe you were supposed to go to work and you believe that you get a salary, but you called in sick. You are not supposed to. Just speak the truth. You see, something urgent has come up. If something urgent has come up, or I have to sort a few things out. If you have to sort a few things out, but there are many things you can make up to sort out, or there are many things you can sort out if you want to. Just be truthful and let your conscience. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I try not to lie. If I'm telling my boss X, it is X. But there are many ways to say X and mean it and not lie and be truthful. When everything is checked, X was being done. Glory. Hallelujah. So the Bible is saying that I should do X or I should read his word. Now the belief in what the Bible says must be demonstrated. I must back it. If the Bible says I shouldn't steal, the Bible says I shouldn't do something, or I should do something, I must make the effort. If the Bible says don't lie, make the effort not to lie. That proves your faith. Now, we've all not gone to work when we're supposed to, or actually just called in, I'm not coming to work. How many have done that before? Yes. But the fact that we did it didn't mean that we didn't have faith that we'll get paid. That's why we went the next day. So it also shows that there are times that you might not be perfect and do everything you are supposed to do, like witness to people, do this to outreach, whatever it is. I mean, I get what I'm saying. You don't do exactly what you are supposed to do, but you know that you are supposed to do it and you strive to do it. You are walking in faith. Amen. Oh, I thought you put yours together for Jesus. So now the question is, faith without action to demonstrate the faith is dead, being alone. Let's finish this verse. Dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? That kind of faith can't save anyone. Then we'll get to real faith. Continue, verse 15. Suppose you see a brother or sister who needs food or clothing. And you say, well, goodbye, and God bless you. Meaning that, tell me you're hungry. Of course, you'll never be hungry. You always have plenty in Jesus' name. But say, just quotes. Jackson Johnny is asking for money. Say you need money. God, give her money. Jesus' name. You get money. You can go. That's what this verse is saying. And you say, well, goodbye and God bless you. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? The Bible says in 1 John, you don't need to turn to it, but if you see a brother or sister in need and shutteth up your bowels of compassion from that person, how dwelleth the love of God in you? Now this is explaining it further. That what good is it if that happens? How many people do that? Someone comes to the concern. Okay, Baba, I'll pray for you. Hey, Baba, Shandaladeba. Hey, Abaya. No, that's not time for Abaya. Give the person what they need. So you see, it's not enough just to have faith. Faith that doesn't show itself by good deeds is no faith at all. It is dead and useless. Yeah. Verse 18. Now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. You see, good deeds don't save you, but faith saves you. But true faith, which is accompanied by action, corresponding action. Yes. Abraham had faith in God and what God said, and the corresponding action was the knife he was about to take use. Corresponding action. Abraham had faith in God. Go to the land, I'll tell you. I don't know where don't worry about where you are going. You are going to be in tents. The demonstration of moving, not knowing where he was going, was the proof of his faith. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. I say, I can't see your faith if you don't have good deeds, but I will show you my faith through my good deeds. Faith can be seen. Verse 19. Do you still think it's enough just to believe that there is one God? Well, even the demons believe this and they tremble in terror. I don't see human beings trembling in terror, but demons tremble in terror. They believe that there's a God more than many Christians because they've seen God physically. They've seen God physically. Or at least the fallen angels have seen God. Hallelujah. Fool! When will you ever learn that faith does not result in good deeds? When will you ever learn that faith that does not result in good deeds is useless? Wow. Remember, it cannot save anyone. Verse 21. So it's not just I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. When you pray that, it must be proved. There must be a change. There must be a corresponding change in the life. A change in the life. People must see that there's a change. It doesn't mean that immediately you stop wrong. Glory. Because even me, when I had faith, it took some time. But I was sad when I did the wrong. the switch of heart, I was looking for wrong to do as an unbeliever. Oh, I said I was looking for wrong and persuading people for the wrong. When I became a Christian, I was sad for doing the wrong. There's a change. It doesn't mean I should continue to be sad for doing the wrong with not changing. At a point, the sadness of doing the wrong must be correspondingly proved by actually changing. Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was declared right with God because of what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, he was trusting God so much that he was willing to do whatever God told him to do. His faith was made complete by what he did by his actions. Wow. That is faith. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, so God declared him to be righteous. We are righteous because we believe what God says. That's all. I mean, think about it. God said this, I believe it, and it makes me righteous. He was even called the friend of God because God said, wow. Abraham hoped against hope. Now, that the woman is past the child-giving age. She couldn't have children when she was of child-giving age. There's nothing to hope for. What are you hoping for when you are an old woman? So Abraham hoped against hope. Hallelujah. So you see, we are made right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute is another example of this. She was made right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Hey, God of Israel, I believe it. You are the spies. Oh, and the people are coming for you. Let me hide you because I believe in the God of Israel. So I hide his people. But she sinned after. Righteous people also fall short. She sinned by lying. God never approved of the lie. Not a single scripture that says God approved of the lie. Just like Abraham lied after he was righteous. She became a righteous woman and sinned after. So God has never approved of a lie and he never will. Just as the body is dead without a spirit, so also faith is dead without good works. Look at this in King James 25 and 26. So it's very important. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? When you also read the heroes of faith, you see that that's the reason why she was justified by faith, by sending them another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead. Now what does death mean? Death means your spirit has left your body.
Yes.
The silver cord is broken.
Yes.
That's what death for a human being means. Our spirit and soul have left our bodies.
Yes.
So the body is dead without the spirit.
Yes.
In the same way, faith, if it does not, is not backed with corresponding action, is also dead, similar to the body and the spirit. What does it mean? It means true faith for the born-again Christian or true faith for a person must be demonstrated by action. There must be a corresponding action. Coming to church is one of them, but even that, there has to be more than coming to church.
That's right.
You and I, look, I'll never go to heaven. You and I will never go to heaven because I'm preaching or because I'm doing works for God. Never. 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 I'll never go to heaven because of what I'm doing for God. I'll only go to heaven because I have faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And in his finished works. I have faith in Jesus Christ being God's son, God manifested in the flesh. I have faith that he came down from heaven, died on the cross. His blood was shed for my sins. He was buried. He died and was buried. Death. And he rose physically from the dead and ascended into heaven. That's my ticket to heaven. Not because of what I've done. But that proof or that belief in Jesus Christ and the things I've just listed must be demonstrated by action. If I believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead for my justification, there must be a proof. He died for my sins and he rose for my justification. There must be accompanying action to back it. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. May our faith be real. I said, may my faith and your faith be real.
Amen.
May our faith be demonstrated by action.
Amen.
May it be, may the word of God motivate us. May the word of God determine how you and I will live. May the word of God determine where we will live. May the word of God determine the job we will take. May the word of God determine who we marry. May the word of God determine what we use our money for. May the word of God determine our commitment to him in church. May the word of God determine our commitment in service to him. May it determine it. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without corresponding action is dead being alone. I see God generating extraordinary faith. Great faith. Miracle moving faith. Mountain moving faith. Faith that moves mountains. May our faith grow exceedingly in Jesus' name. Shall we stand to our feet? We'll continue, God willing, next week. Well, we can put our hands together for Jesus. Yes. And speak to the Lord. Oh, yes. Speak to him. Speak to him. Oh, yes. Faith without action is dead being alone. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Speak to him. Just speak to God for a couple of minutes. Ask him to increase your faith. And to cause you to demonstrate your faith in him by action. Yes. By action. By action. That you demonstrate your faith in him by helping to build his church, to build his house, to listen to his word, to read his word, to pray every day, to study, to know. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, just speak to him. Jesus, we give you praise. We give you praise. Father God, we pray, speak to us, help us. If you are here this afternoon and you are not born again, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you die today and you don't know whether you will go to heaven or hell, or you are watching and you die today, if something happens and you die today and you do not know whether you will go to heaven or hell, and you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want a first class. There are no second class or coach tickets to heaven. First class. First class, and you want to say, Pastor, I want a first class ticket, guaranteed stamped ticket, boarding pass in the plane straight to heaven. I want it. If you want that, I want you to raise your hands. If you want your sins forgiven, if you want to be washed with the blood of Jesus, raise your hands wherever you are, even when you are watching, and repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you. In the name of Jesus Christ,
in the name of Jesus Christ,
I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me for all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. From today, I belong to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father God, we bless your word and we thank you for salvation. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the blood that was shed on the cross for our sins. Thank you for the forgiveness and remission of our sins. Thank you for the atonement. Oh, we give you praise We give you glory. We give you honor. Everyone who has surrendered to Jesus, we pray for strength, hope, and help. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we keep